The following is a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly presentation exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is sponsored by the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network.
Good morning. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. I am your host, Dr. Carol Smith, Commissioner of Health and Mental Health for Ulster County. With me this morning is my co-host, Vin Martello, our Director of Community Health Relations. Good morning, Vin.
Good morning, Dr. Smith. How are you today?
Hi, thank you.
Dr. Smith, today is a topic that we've talked about many times on this program and that we address almost on a daily basis at the Ulster County Department of Health, and that is tobacco use prevention, especially what it means for our youth and community wellness, as the Ulster County Legislature currently considers raising the age of purchase of tobacco from 18 to 21. And we have some very special guests, one of whom is returning, and that is our dear friend Ellen Reinhardt, who's Director of Tobacco-Free Action Communities in Ulster, Dutchess, and Sullivan. Ellen has been with the organization since 2001. Her background in community outreach, mobilization, and health communications has helped her in establishing and maintaining contact with community businesses, lawmakers, and local professionals in order to promote TFAC and the fight against tobacco. We also have Diane Moore, who's the Reality Check lead. Diane has been with the Reality Check Youth Program since 2001 and with TFAC since 2014. Her focus on youth advocacy and public health has been a strong foundation for her work with youth in the fight against tobacco. Welcome, ladies.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for joining us. Ellen, could you tell us a little bit more about TFAC?
Sure. Well, TFAC is an acronym for Tobacco-Free Action Communities, and we work in Ulster County. We started in Ulster County, and now we work in Dutchess and in Sullivan as well. We're a program at Health Alliance Hospital, and we are one of 25 advancing tobacco-free communities grants that is funded through the New York State Department of Health Bureau of Tobacco Control. And TFAC consists now of two different components. We have a community engagement component, and we have a youth component, which is labeled Reality Check. And that's what Diane leads, the Reality Check portion of our grant. So maybe Diane would like to speak a little bit about Reality Check
now. Sure, Diane. Yes, thank you. So Reality Check, as we had mentioned, has been around since 2001, and it's part of the New York State Tobacco Control Program, and was really brought about because a lot of the evidence was showing us that that although kids knew that tobacco use was dangerous and bad for them, I mean, they hear that from the time they're in elementary school and from their parents, they were still smoking. And we know that 90% or 96% of all smokers, adult smokers, started before the age of 21. So we knew that we needed to really reach kids and we needed to reach young people at a time when they were very impressionable and more likely to become addicted to nicotine. But with health messaging, it really wasn't showing great success. So we looked into other ways, and one of the greatest or the most successful ways is to look at counter-marketing and talking to young people about the way the tobacco industry is marketing and in ways that are actually increasing the likelihood that they'll smoke. So whether it's through candy-colored packaging and candy flavoring and sponsorships and different ways that it's marketed locally at their convenience stores, near their schools and things like that. So we really just look at a whole bunch of different ways that tobacco is marketed and then educate kids and empower them to sort of take on the industry and to protect their peers and look for ways to make changes within their community to help them.
And of course, the tobacco industry spends billions and billions of dollars in trying to recruit new smokers. And as the older smoker contingent starts to die off, literally, they start to focus on the younger smoker. And you're right, the science has showed us that the developing brain, really up until the age of 25, is much more likely to become addicted to any addicting agents such as nicotine or other agents. So certainly focusing on that younger group is extremely important.
And it's really interesting. I was looking at a chart the other day that showed smoking rates basically climbing uphill on an upward curve until 1998, when the big tobacco settlements came about. Those were the class action lawsuits that were brought against the tobacco companies for aggressive marketing of their highly addictive products. And in 1998, after those settlements happened, and communities all over the country, including ours, got a major infusion of money for counter marketing and counter advertising, those rates started plummeting dramatically. I mean, it's almost like a roller coaster curve. You know, it was very interesting to see that. Can you talk about a little bit about some of the significant accomplishments and milestones in tobacco prevention in our region and our community?
Sure. We've done a lot of great work since we started in 2001 with the Bureau of Tobacco Control. The first was the Clean Indoor Air Law. That passed in 2003, and that was a huge accomplishment for New York State in protecting workers from secondhand smoke. Locally, Ulster County has been a tremendous leader in tobacco control and tobacco prevention. We had the 100% smoke-free property law that the county passed in 2008, which allowed no smoking on any county property owned or leased, and it included the fairgrounds, it included SUNY Ulster, which was really fabulous, was wonderful. It already started to protect that age group, the 18 to 20-year-olds, 21-year-olds that, you know, were tobacco users. We also had e-cigarettes added to that county law after, you know, a couple of years, when we realized that e-cigarettes were becoming a big problem. So the county added that to their property law as well. So you couldn't use e-cigarettes on any property law or conventional tobacco. And then the state passed the e-cigarettes added into the Clean Indoor Air Law, which was, again, fabulous for everybody. We also partnered with the Department of Health and have been partnering with you, the Department of Health, on your community health improvement plan, which you have focused on tobacco and tobacco prevention, which is fabulous. You have been wonderful partners with us in that work, and we've been doing that for years with you. Now there's also a county tobacco retail license that was adopted in 2015, which includes that there'll be no new tobacco retailers within 1,000 feet of schools, which again is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way to help children not be, you know, bombarded with tobacco marketing. And then now we are looking at Tobacco 21, which will raise the legal sale age of all tobacco products, including e-cigarettes, including tobacco paraphernalia, all of that to 21, which again is a wonderful, wonderful way to help protect our youth from tobacco addiction.
Is that considered to be a highly effective prevention strategy? Is there evidence out there that shows that? And what are your thoughts on that?
Well, since 96% of all adult smokers began smoking before the age of 21, absolutely. You know, the tobacco industry is really they need that young smoker, as you, Dr. Smith, had said, that the replacement smokers for people that die from tobacco addiction. They need that young person to begin smoking, because without that, they go out of business. So, and Tobacco 21, since the brain, like you said, doesn't fully develop till age 25, that really impacts addiction. Addiction is, they get hooked. They get hooked hard, and they get hooked long, and it's... Now there's all this e-cigarette things going on too, which is all nicotine. It's about addiction to nicotine. And then they go to smoke the regular conventional cigarette once they're addicted. I know, Diane, we talked about things in schools. Maybe you want to address the new Juul and the way the e-cigarettes are all over the place in our schools.
Yeah, we are, especially since I work in the schools, I'm hearing a lot about e-cigarettes in schools. They have really exploded on the scene. And as had been mentioned before, We've seen combustible tobacco rates, as in smoking rates, go down significantly into the single digits among high school students. But what we're seeing with e-cigarettes is recent data shows it's over 20% of high school students are using e-cigarettes. And within the past few years, although it flew under the radar of a lot of adults, is a product called Juuls, J-U-U-L. And that is something that is very attractive to kids because it's very easily hidden from adults. And that's part of the design of it. And if you go on YouTube, there's a whole bunch of different videos, tutorials teaching how to hide it because it's very, everybody understands you're not supposed to use those in school. It's not legal. And yet I'm hearing from kids that they are rampant, that kids are sitting before the teacher comes into class, before the teacher looks up from their book. Kids are taking little hits off of these Juuls, and they're able to contain the vapor, as they call it, but it's actually an aerosol that contains a whole bunch of compounds, dangerous compounds, and they're able to contain it within their lungs until it sort of dissipates, and nobody really can see it happening. Or they're sneaking off to the bathroom in groups, and it becomes sort of a social thing. But what they don't realize is that even though it tastes, you know, sweet and it tastes like mango or it tastes like peppermint or, you know, whatever other flavor is provided in these cute little packs, these little pods they call them, is that they are highly addictive. And one pod of Juuls is actually equivalent to about a pack of cigarettes in nicotine levels. So it's pretty dangerous. The kids are, lots of kids are getting into these.
And also, parents, a lot of parents are talking about how that they're finding out from their kids that go to school that 18, 19-year-olds are buying these because they can buy them over the age of 18. And they're buying them, and then they're selling them to the younger students. And these younger students, of, like Diane was saying, the flavors, the mango and the peppermint and the fruit flavors, these younger kids don't realize, they think it's cool, but they don't realize that they're becoming addicted to nicotine, that there's nicotine in those pods. And that when they think they're cool and they're trying these, that these adult older kids are selling to them, they're now becoming addicted to nicotine. And then you go on to the regular conventional cigarettes, and that there's a big problem with this. And these kids don't even realize it. They just think it's cool and it's that flavors, it tastes good or whatever they think, but they don't realize that nicotine is what's going to really hook them.
Right. And these e-cigarette products are really not tobacco cessation. They're tobacco substitution, really.
Correct.
I mean, although they may help some adults, you know, gradually decrease the amount of cigarettes that they smoke, for kids, it's just an addiction tool, another tool at the tobacco.
Right, and you wonder, why are they putting flavors in these? You know, why are they making them candy flavored? Why are they doing this? Not for somebody that's 40 years old that's trying to quit smoking. It's really to get that youth, that young adult, that young kid to become addicted and to become a lifelong smoker.
Well, let's take this up right after a short break. There's a lot more talk about on the subject, and it's really great information. So we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. We'll be back after this.
The heart is a complex organ, but finding specialized cardiovascular care in Poughkeepsie and Kingston is so easy. Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital and Health Alliance Hospital are now home to WMC Health's Heart and Vascular Institute, the Hudson Valley's largest multi-specialty cardiovascular practice. They have state-of-the-art diagnostics and innovative imaging and testing technologies. You'll receive comprehensive cardiac and vascular care from some of the world's top cardiologists and vascular surgeons. You'll also have a seamless connection to advanced care at WMC Health's flagship hospital, Westchester Medical Center. The best cardiovascular care comes from the best people, and now the very best are right in your backyard. Visit wmchealth.org/heart to discover more about WMC Health's Heart and Vascular Institute at Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital and Health Alliance Hospital. Members of the Westchester Medical Center Health Network. WMC Health. Advancing care here.
Good morning. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Our guests are Ellen Reinhardt from the Tobacco Free Action Communities and Diane Moore from Reality Check, which is the youth division. And before the break, we were talking about e-cigarettes and vaping and the fact that they are high-performance nicotine delivery systems. Dr. Smith, can you talk about the addictive nature of nicotine in any form, whether it's smoked or otherwise?
Well, studies have shown that nicotine directly affects the brain, and it affects those areas of the brain which lead to something called dopamine release. And it affects the same areas of the brain that many of the addictive drugs that we're battling now affect. Whether you're talking about opiates or cocaine or nicotine, they all affect a very similar pathway in the brain, and certainly in the developing young brain. But in addition to those effects, which directly help to increase the addictive potential of these substances, nicotine in and of itself is a direct stimulant and affects the heart, the cardiovascular system overall, the respiratory system, causes certain GI complaints. So as the kids are starting to experiment with either liquid nicotine, which is highly dangerous, in these Juuls or other delivery devices, such as the vaping devices that were brought on the market by the tobacco companies, really, to attract more young smokers, the effects of nicotine are very widespread in the body, very directly. So it certainly does commit somebody to a lifelong addiction. It does tend to make that young developing brain more likely to take on other addictive compounds, which are equally and more dangerous in some degree. So, but maybe you can talk a little bit more about what the numbers look like now that, you know, the younger kids and adolescents are beginning to use these other devices as opposed to, say, combustible cigarettes. How has that impacted the percentages of people utilizing these compounds?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Well, over the years, we've seen a trend, a downward trend, for combustible smoked tobacco products. And it was very heartening to think and to know that the work that that many have been doing around this issue has been successful. And so where we were up into the higher teens, lower 20s percentage-wise with smoking rates among high school students and middle school students, what we saw most recently is that these rates plummeted down into the single digits, below 5%. So that's very, very encouraging news, because combustible tobacco, containing all sorts, 4,000 chemicals and all sorts of carcinogenic compounds, it's really wonderful to think that kids are not at the same rates that they were getting addicted to these things, because that will protect them over the long run, and they won't be developing such things as emphysema and lung cancer and other cancers and things like that. However, in the meantime, while we were doing all this work to prevent kids from smoking, these new products came on the market, and it was almost a reaction, we think, by the industry to find a product that would sort of skate under our regulations and kind of avoid scrutiny, until at this point it's become a huge problem. It's actually an epidemic in this country now, because middle schoolers, I was speaking to a teacher the other day who works with young middle schoolers, fifth grade, sixth grade, and said that now they have to be so careful even in the bathrooms, because these little kids are going in there and they have these products. They're getting them from older people. They're getting them from older teens. I'm not sure exactly how else they're getting them, but they're getting their hands on them, and they're very attractive to them. And so now what we're seeing is rates high into the, into the 20s even, for the use rates. And that comes from data from 2016. And since we saw from 2014 to 2016, the rates have doubled from 10% to 20%. We can only imagine in the last 2 years what has happened. So I think 20 might be a very, very low conservative estimate at this point. I think it might be much higher. And so it's definitely at epidemic levels.
And tobacco companies will never stop. I mean, throughout time, they've introduced products making claims, like with filter cigarettes when they first came out. They were positioned as the healthier choice. And now we have the vaping products and Juuls, and now we have a new product from Philip Morris that just heats the tobacco but doesn't burn it, and they're claiming that to be a safer alternative. So really, it's precisely why vaping, e-cigarettes, and all of these other any tobacco-derived product is included in Ulster County's proposed law to raise the age to 21, because these are all nicotine-derived products that, as Dr. Smith said, are very addictive. And it's really something that's really important to protect our kids from.
Absolutely.
Ellen, I know you've done a lot of work in surveying the public. Where does the public stand in reference to tobacco prevention in general, and specifically raising the age to 21 and tobacco youth marketing initiatives?
Well, TFAC's been surveying the community for probably about 12 years. Every year we do a community tobacco survey, and we ask questions about use and about how the community feels about laws like Tobacco 21 or about smoke-free parks and that kind of thing. It's amazing the overwhelming support we have in the community for tobacco policies to protect. You know, nobody wants a young person to pick up that cigarette and to become addicted. So everyone, even smokers, support policies that help protect. And the T21, the Tobacco 21 law, there's 62% of adult community members in Ulster County support raising the age to sell tobacco to 21. So there is huge support for all of our initiatives and all the things that have been done in Ulster County over the past several years to help protect our community from tobacco.
And I remember there was strong support also for our youth marketing law, tobacco youth law, which is the licensing,
right,
to keep new licenses from being issued within 1,000 feet of all K-12 schools.
Yeah, that was in the 70s. I think that support was almost 78%.
Yeah,
believed in that, because again, it's tobacco near schools doesn't seem to go together.
And it's not just the sale of tobacco; it's the marketing of tobacco. Tobacco companies spend $1 million an hour, as we know, marketing their products, most of which is at point of sale in those convenience stores and corner stores and neighborhood stores that our kids frequent much more than adults.
And all of the tobacco marketing, all of the money that the companies spend, I believe it's something like 94% of that goes to tobacco marketing, because they know that it works. They know that that's what lures those young people to want to try tobacco, because it looks fun. You know, you've got those bright colored packages, you know, you've got flavors, you've got all these things that really are targeting, but kind of is. You know, they're marketing to that young person, because no matter what the tobacco companies say or what they do, again, it's about youth smoking, because if you don't have young people that start smoking, the tobacco industry is going out of business.
Yeah, you have to cultivate those new smokers. So given all of this, are you optimistic about the future for tobacco prevention efforts? And how can people who are interested in this subject get involved, either with their own families or just find more information, or is it speaking to local leaders or all of the above?
Well, there's a lot of ways people can get involved. We have a website now, seenenoughtobacco.org, all one word, seenenoughtobacco.org, and community residents, people can go to that website and they could show their support. They could sign a petition that shows that we do have community support out there for these laws. They could write a letter to the editor about any kind of tobacco issue, any kind of support for any of the policies that have already been passed or future issues that we might be addressing. What else, Diane?
We ask that if somebody is willing and really wants to get involved, they contact us at TFAC and through our website, tobaccofreeactioncommunities.org, because we have plenty of ways that we can get you into the, you know, get involved. And for example, it might be a young person who gets involved and wants to you know, speak to their community members, their fellow students, elected officials. An adult might want to come in and talk about how it feels to be a parent dealing with these issues.
And we can also speak at a PTA meeting. You know, if somebody wants us to come, we're always willing to get out there and to help educate on all these different issues. Because there's a lot of things that people don't know, even us. I mean, we're learning every day about all this. Jules, a month ago, who would have thought that would be part of our conversation?
And of course, contact your Ulster County representatives, because there is a local law being considered as we speak to raise the age for tobacco purchase to 21. Unfortunately, that is all the time we have for today. This is a great subject, and there's a lot of really valuable information here. And we'd like to have you both back to discuss this even further.
We'd love it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and your community healthy and strong with Healthy Ulster Radio.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department, sponsored by Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next week.